And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Yesterday afternoon, I was sitting by Wendy, or there was a chair between us, or a space between us. And as I was waiting for the funeral service to start, I picked up a Bible. You know what? I was really pleased. That really made me very happy to sit down on a church pew and see Bibles everywhere. And I thought to myself, this is the way it should be. So, like, for example, if you showed up to church and you were in a hurry and you accidentally forgot your Bible, wouldn't it be nice if every church pew was filled with the Word of God? I thought to myself, yeah, I like that a whole bunch. And then I kind of flipped open to the Old Testament. I noticed that one page had a wrinkle in it. So I said, hey, Roy, it's your job to straighten this out. So I was trying to kind of unfold the page that had a crease in it, you know, to return it back to its normal state. And it was right there in the book of Numbers. And I don't even remember what chapter it was, but, oh my goodness, the children of Israel, they started complaining, and they complained some more. And if I paraphrase, just, you know, look it up yourself, but guess how all this complaining, guess how it went down? Well, a pillar of fire came down out of the heavens and burned a bunch of them up to a crisp. So I leaned over to Wendy. I said, look at this right here. We should never complain, should we? She goes, yeah, right. We shouldn't complain. Anyway, I'm just super sad about the war over in the Ukraine and Russia. There's got to be some beautiful people over there on both sides that love the Lord. And I hate to see them meet destruction, but there's going to be like a ripple effect throughout the entire world over this deal. One of them, what if you live in a country like Yemen, and the only food that you have to eat is wheat that comes from the Ukraine? Well, how are you going to get it now? What's going to happen to that wheat shipment? Well, you can bet your bottom dollar things are not going to go as they were going to go before all this war started. So be thankful that you don't live in some place where you can't get food. God is so extremely good to us, giving us food to eat, isn't he? You have so many things you can be thankful for. You can be thankful for your eyesight and for your hearing and that you can think and move and breathe. You know, the bottom line is there is nothing in this world that's ever going to make you happy except God. There you go. I want to read this to you. It's an article by Mark David, or, well, actually, he just kind of quotes it, but to me, it's very interesting. And I'm going to read it to you. It comes from the guy named Mark David, the one that wrote this. Okay. In one fascinating experiment, scientists deprived a group of rats, test rats, of taste sensation. That means that they weren't allowed to have any food that had taste to it. Both this group and a control group were placed on normal rat diets, and in a short time, the taste-deprived rats, they all died. When the rats were autopsied, scientists could find only one cause of death: clinical malnutrition. The scientists could come up with only one explanation: that there are important yet unknown physiological connections between taste and health. I know it almost seems ridiculous that I'd bring up an article like this, because everybody's going to say, yeah, Dr. Morgan, we already know that. High-quality food tastes very good. Now, if the food is of very low quality, meaning it's substandard, some par, it's not high-quality food, well, then fast food manufacturers or food manufacturers, they have only one play. Add some sugar to it, or add some salt to it. When I say salt, they're not using pink Himalayan salt or Celtic salt or Redmond sea salt or some type of salt that's raw and really good for you. No, they're using cheap, highly refined salt. It's been chemically refined. The other thing they do is they add monosodium glutamate or MSG to it. Or if they really want to doctor it up, they add aspartame or sucralose or Splenda. All that's fake stuff. I can tell you this. When you eat real food and it has great flavor to it, that's because it's real. That should be your standard right there. That should be your measuring stick that you go by. If this food is high quality, it tastes really good without all the chemicals. But if you're going for fast food all the time, they have no choice. If they want you to eat it because it's low quality, they got to add a boatload of MSG to it. Okay. Think about this right here. What if you're in the hospital right now and you're unconscious and they have to give you like a feeding tube? So when they take a feeding tube intravenously, or you know, they bypass the mouth where the patient can't chew and crush and grind their food, and it doesn't come in contact with their taste receptors on their tongue. So what do these people do? They constantly cannot be satisfied. And I kind of think about that. What do you do if a person's on a feeding tube? Well, here's an idea. This is just me talking. What if a person's had like radiation treatments and they can't swallow food and they have to drink something down or through a feeding tube, something like that? I still think it would be a genius idea. I'm using the word genius loosely, by the way. I think it'd be a genius idea just to give them food that they could hold on their tongue so they could taste it. Maybe they can't swallow it. I get that. But I would still put high quality food in their mouth and let them taste it. One of the keys to life is you got to keep moving. Would you agree with me that movement is life? It is. If I were right now to imitate all my older patients that are still in great shape, even though they're in their late 80s or their early 90s, they have one thing in common. They keep moving. I had a lady tell me a story this week. Of course, I never mention names, but they probably know if I'm talking about the story I'm telling. She was saying that her mother is French. And you know, these stories to me are so interesting because it tells a story about what can we do to imitate these people. But she was saying her mother is French. And she's in her 90s, and I think she might be the only sibling out of 8 children that is still alive. And I asked her, I said, well, why do you think that is? And she said, well, all the relatives, they live in apartments, and they don't really get out and tend to gardens or yards, but my mother, she still mows her own yard, and she runs errands, and if there's a storm that comes over, she picks up sticks and limbs from the trees, from the wind damage. And I thought to myself, you see there, God knows exactly what he's doing. If he gives you work to do where you can be active and busy, you know what? That is your ticket to keep going and to keep moving. And that's one of the ways you stay healthy and strong. The whole idea that you would say, I think I will hire somebody to go get my groceries for me. And now, if you have to, that's one thing. I get that. But if you're able-bodied and you can take care of yourself, then do it. Do not be a burden to anybody else. There's a lot of selfish people out there, oh my word, that they think the world is there to serve and wait on them. That is so wrong. If you can get outside and bend over and pick up a stick and throw it on a brush pile, then do it. Or better yet, what if you had like a wood chipper and you could chop it up and you could make organically carbon-based fertilizer for your garden. Anyway, I want to read this to you from Mark Twain. Y'all ever heard of Mark Twain? In his work, Life on the Mississippi, let me read this to you. Some of it's pretty comical. To me, it is. You tell me what you think. Okay, I'm just going to take off on this chapter in Mark Twain's Life on the Mississippi. Speaking of manufacturers, reminds me of a talk upon a steamboat which I overheard. It soon transpired that they were drummers, one belonging in Cincinnati, the other in New Orleans. Brisk men, energetic of movement and speech, the dollar their god, and how to get it their religion. Now, as to this article, said Cincinnati, slashing into the ostentable butter and holding forward a slab of it on his knife blade, and I quote, "It's from our house. Look at it. Smell of it. Butter, ain't it? Not by a thundering sight. It's oleomargarine. Yes, sir, that's what it is, oleomargarine. You can't tell it from butter, by George. An expert can't, but it's from our house. We supply most of it to the boats on the west. There's hardly a pound of butter on one of them. We are crawling right along, jumping right along, is this word. We are going to have the entire trade. Yes, and the hotel trade, too. You're going to see the day pretty soon when you won't find an ounce of butter to bless yourself with in any hotel in the Mississippi and Ohio Valley outside the biggest cities. Why, we are turning out oleomargarine now by the thousands of tons, and we can sell it so dirt cheap that the whole country has got to take it. You can't get around it, you see. Butter doesn't stand any show. There ain't any chance for competition. Butter's had its day, and from this out, butter goes to the wall. There's more money in oleomargarine than, why, you can't imagine the business we do. I've stopped in every town from Cincinnati to Natchez, and I've sent home big orders from every one of them. Then New Orleans piped up and said, yes, it's a first-rate imitation. That's a certainty. But it ain't the only one around that's first-rate. For instance, they make olive oil out of cottonseed oil nowadays so that you can't tell them apart. Yes, that's so, responded Cincinnati. And it was a tip-top business for a while. They sent it over and they brought it back from France and Italy with the United States Custom House mark on it to endorse it for genuine. And there was no end of cash in it. But France and Italy broke up the game, of course. They naturally would. Cracked on such rattling import that cottonseed olive oil couldn't stand the rise. Had to hang it up and quit. Oh, did it? You wait here a minute. Goes to his stateroom and brings back a couple of long bottles. Takes out the corks and says, there now, smell them. Taste them. Examine the bottles. Inspect the labels. One of M's from Europe. The other has never been out of the country. One's European olive oil. The other one, or the others, American cottonseed olive oil. Tell them apart? Of course you can't. Nobody can. We turn out the whole thing clean from the word go in our factory in New Orleans. Labels, bottles, oil, everything. Well, not the labels. Been buying them abroad. Get them dirt cheap there. Nothing's changed. You see, there's just one little wee speck or essence of whatever it is in a gallon of cottonseed oil that gives it a smell or a flavor or something that you get out and you're all right. Perfectly easy to turn the oil into any kind of oil you want to. And there ain't anybody that can detect the true from the false. Well, we know how to get that one little particle out, and we're the only firm that does. And we turn out an olive oil that is simply perfect, undetectable. We are doing a ripping trade, too. As I could easily show you by my order book for this trip, maybe you'll butter everybody's bread pretty soon, but we'll cottonseed his salad for him from the Gulf to Canada, and that's a certain thing. It comes from Mark Twain. Oh, boy. Always have enjoyed reading the story of Dr. Royal Lee. He was a dentist. The guy was a genius. I think he's the one that was world famous for developing a variable speed dental drill to remove cavities. He also made this, I can't remember the name of it, begins with the letter N. I saw one of them at the museum at the Tyler Airport, but it was, I wanted to call it Norton, that's not the right word, but it was a bomb site. I don't know if anybody listening remembers, there was a war called World War II. And when B-17 and B-29 and B-25 bombers, when they would go on a mission to bomb factories over in Nazi Germany, what they would do is they had to have the bombardier had to have this sight that he could line up his target. I don't know, you don't know this, but when a bird is flying in front of you, you can't put the shot, the tip of the barrel right on the bird and hit it. You got to lead the bird, right? And so it's your job, the human computer brain, to figure out when do I pull the trigger on this quail that's flying in front of me, and how am I going to hit it? Well, you have to lead the bird. Well, Dr. Royal Lee, he was a genius, and he developed this bomb sight. And to me, that was a great, great contribution, because if you can't accurately hit the target with a bomb, then you can't stop the war machine from making bombs or bullets, tanks, planes, just fill in the blank, any type of vehicle. They're made in factories. And so if they could drop their bombs accurately on the target, well, that was part and parcel to winning the war. You've got to interrupt the ability of the soldiers to destroy the American soldiers, right? Well, that was Dr. Royal Lee. Well, this is what he wrote about butter. And I want you to pay attention to this right here. Because the bottom line is, here's the bottom line. You can't give fake food to human bodies and expect a child to grow up and to have intelligence. I don't know about anybody else, but when I look around, there's a serious lack of motivation in people. I have learned from my Hispanic patients, there is a word they call flojo, and that means lazy. You know what it means to be lazy? Yeah, of course you do. And if you're going to have radiant health, you're not going to get there by being lazy, folks. You're going to have to actually buckle down and do something that's going to help turn your health toward great health. And what I want to do is I want to read this little piece by Dr. Royal Lee. This ain't no mystery. If you want to improve your health, why don't you consider real butter? Not oleomargarine, not I can't believe it's not butter, not fake cottonseed oil. They turn into a butter-looking substance because they add chemicals to it to make you think it's butter. But it's all fake. It's all imitation. And you know what? You only get the benefits from consuming that which is real, right? You want to thank God? Well, guess what you're going to get out of it? Nothing. It's going to die in misery. Okay, here we go. This is Dr. Royal Lee's writing. The special nutritional factors present in butter, as known up to 1942, are without question. See, he's covering all the research up into 1942. I almost think it's kind of funny because here we are in 2022. We've only got, 80 years removed from this right here? It was shown that butter has the following characteristics of superiority over the other fats and oleomargarine imitations. Yeah, he's comparing butter to margarine. Number one, butter is the nation's best source of vitamin A. Let me think about this one for a second. Vitamin A. Roy, what is vitamin A good for? Well, the very reason why vitamin A was named vitamin A, not because it was the first vitamin that was discovered. No. It's called vitamin A because it's known as the anti. When you hear A, think anti, as in anti-infection. You don't want to have an infection? You better take vitamin A. Okay, the nation's best source of vitamin A, that's butter. Number two, unit for unit, the vitamin A in butter was three times as effective as the vitamin A that's in fish oil. Don't get me wrong. I love cod liver oil. That stuff is great. It's like a superfood. But the one that's found naturally in butter, when I say butter, I'm talking about cows that get to go out and eat every type of plant and grass and flora and fauna and vegetation and leaves and everything else they can put their tongue and their teeth on. Guess what they do with that? They ferment it, digest it, and convert it straight into butter just for you. Well, you got to do your part to make the butter, right? Okay, number three. The natural vitamin D in butter was found to be 100 times as effective as the commonly commercial available vitamin D. I don't know about you, but would you rather something that's 100 times more effective at doing its job Of course you do. That means butter. Number four. And get this. Remember, this is 1942, okay? But still, just because it's 1942 does not make it so. Number four. Butter prescribed by physician. See, I almost laugh at that right there. I don't even know the last time I've heard of a doctor, maybe besides me, that recommends butter. Okay, butter prescribed by physicians as a remedy for what? Let me see, what would doctors be prescribing butter for? Oh, here it is right here, tuberculosis. Now, yeah, there's not a lot of tuberculosis probably here in East Texas, but it's making a comeback. To the best of my knowledge, we have about, what, how many million people have tuberculosis in the U.S.? I can't remember. It might be 30 million, maybe it's 15 million, but there's a lot of people that have TB that are testing positive. It's making a comeback. You know how many people have tuberculosis worldwide? It's 2 billion test positive. Folks, if you want to find a way to totally wreck your immune system and hamstring it where it can't do its job or weaken the immune system, well, tuberculosis is a pretty good way of doing that. You know, just that alone, between tuberculosis and all the other diseases such as leprosy, folks, they're walking across our southern border without anybody to stop them. I mean, I know there's people trying to stop them, but I think there is a severe restriction and limitation on what they can do to prevent people with sickness coming over. So they used to use butter to treat tuberculosis. They also recommend it for psoriasis. Have you ever heard of anybody say this? If somebody had night blindness or dry eyes, well, that's what they use it for. Now get this one right here. Every dentist should be recommending butter, because butter has been shown to prevent cavities or your bones from becoming soft. And there's other things too. I won't read all of them. Since that time, new and important evidence has accumulated which indicates other nutritional functions supplied by butter. This is almost kind of comical. Should we really have a conversation about butter versus margarine? The whole thing is just is the biggest scam and the sales scam of all time, that we should be afraid of butter. It is really a joke, but they've done a good job of it. And evidently, people are really, really easy to fool and to trick. But when they did a study at I'm almost positive it was just outside of Pittsburgh in the state of Pennsylvania, where they took multiple nursing homes, and nutritionists came up with a brilliant study. It was so brilliant. Here's what they did. They didn't take and use margarine. No, no, no. What they did was they used real butter. And in the study, all they did was they tricked all the nursing home residents. Maybe I could even say assisted living residents that come to the cafeteria. They tricked them by putting a pat of butter on their carrots, or on their lima beans, or on their potatoes. They didn't trick them. You know I'm just being sarcastic right there. Well, what happened over the course of a month? Well, their nutrition improved by 15%. And they know this by doing a blood test before and doing a blood test after and looking for improvement in a person's nutritional status. All they did was add butter. So you tell me, how are you going to have tremendous health without butter? How are you going to do it? It cannot be done. Butter definitely improves the flavor of food. But real butter. See, to me, I am so thankful and grateful for all our farmers out there. Cattlemen, cattlewomen. I don't know if I've called anybody a cattlewoman. If they're a rancher and they're raising cows, thank you so much. Thank you for blessing the world and blessing America with great food. Something that the cows can eat and convert it into butter and cheese. I don't have the study in front of me, but I remember reading a survey. This was maybe a year ago. But in the survey, they were looking at what do older people eat that might have some correlation to long life and old age. And number one on the list was like butter and cheese. I can't make this stuff up, folks. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that have very, very irrational fears. Are we here to talk about that? Nope, it doesn't do a bit of good. If they're terrified of butter and cheese and fat, let them be terrified. There's not a thing you can do about it. You're not going to be able to make any progress until they come to their own conclusion that maybe butter's good for them. Okay. Let me see this right here. This comes from Margaret Visser. Oh, let me give out the phone number. I'm looking at the clock. I've been talking for 25 minutes now. The number here at the radio station is 903-586-5257. If you want to call and ask me a question, especially as it concerns to a condition or a problem or a health malady or an issue, if you ask me, okay, I'm telling you the truth right here. If you told me that your husband is in a hospital bed and he's so sick he can't even lift his finger, I know what I'd do. I would sneak real butter in there. Sure. You know, part of life is trying to break the rules sometimes, especially when the rules are super ridiculous, like we do not allow any outside food or drink in here because this is how we make our living. It's just utterly ridiculous. Sneak some organic butter in there. Melt it under the tongue. See what happens. You got nothing to lose. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Morgan.
Hello.
I've learned something new this week, and I just couldn't wait till Saturday morning to get your opinion.
Oh, man, lay it on me.
Two words, chlorine dioxide.
Well, what did you learn?
Well, I, as much as I could, but I learned there's a lot of people pro and a lot of people against. So what I wanted was Dr. Morgan's opinion.
Well, I have to reserve some of my opinion because chlorine dioxide is kind of a man-made deal.
Okay.
How's chlorine dioxide made?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, for example, can I just give you a rundown here?
Yes, please.
Okay, there is an element in nature on the periodic table in a chemistry book called silica. You ever heard of silica before?
Not so I'd know what it is.
Okay, well, silica or silicon dioxide, that's called glass or sand. And so one of the elements that the human body needs to be radiant and strong and healthy, it needs silica. Another element that we need is called hydrogen. Then we need oxygen. And so I'm going to have to hold off my judgment on chlorine dioxide because what I'm always concerned about is somebody has figured out how to make a unique product by making like a P.T. Barnum sales pitch that it's the cure for everything. And I'm a hard sell on these things because what I always think is, what are going to be the basics of human radiant health? Well, you know, the way that I began this morning, you've got to move to have life. Movement is life. You got to have the blood moving. And so I know that in America, we're always famous for wanting like a quick fix that requires a little effort. But if I could find, and I do have some research on this, but I still don't know if I believe all of it yet because some of the claims are so outlandish. But one thing that I have done, I've asked so many people that have kind of bought into it. I just ask them a simple question. Well, tell me, what is your response? Have you seen improvement? Is this condition substantially better? And I'm just not 100% convinced yet. But I'm open to studying it. So if you have a great article that you want to send me on this, I'll be glad to read it.
There's a two-hour documentary I watched. Like most Americans, I've kind of given up reading and now I watch things.
Well, on the documentary, where do they say they source the chlorine dioxide?
Where to go? I don't know.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, in all fairness, I'm going to take exactly what you're telling me, and I'm going to look into it and see if I can't dig a little bit deeper to figure this out.
All right.
Yeah, so thank you very much for your phone call, and I'm glad you're excited about it. Let me see what I can uncover.
Well, thank you very much. I look forward to hearing you talk about it.
You're so welcome. Thanks a bunch, man. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Okay, this to me is just a simple idea, and you tell me if you agree with it, and if you don't, that's fine too. Ideally, what should happen, and of course, what I want you to do is just think back in time. Think about somebody like, do you remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? Yes, Joseph at one point was probably a little bit arrogant, but he ended up being the one that kind of saved all the people by following God's instructions to store grain. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Is it cold down there? I'm way up north here.
What's the temperature where you are?
Oh, it's about probably 15, 16. Feels like maybe 9.
I think you got us beat when it comes to cold, severe weather. It's about 34 here.
Oh, it's the heat wave. We're having the heat wave.
I know. You know what? If you would just come down here, we could just go out and do some sunbathing today and walk around in our shorts and our tank tops. Come on down. Be my guest.
I'm waiting on 50, so I'll be down there next week.
Oh, I know. That's like a heat wave, isn't it?
Well, it will be. We're looking at 70s down there next week.
Yeah.
Well, hey,
what can I help you with today?
Raynaud's disease. I've got a friend. What can you tell me?
Well, number one, that's an autoimmune disease. That means the conditions are right within your friend's body for the immune system to sort of attack itself, and that's not a good deal. So every time you have that, here's what I want you to think of. Okay. Number one, these people, they always have a trigger. And, of course, I know I'm going to make it sound simple, but just kind of play along with me like it makes sense. The number one predictor before a person has Raynaud's disease that they can, like, label and quantify, is they usually have a fair amount of stress that precedes their first experience with Raynaud's. And so most likely your friend has gone through something pretty stressful. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay, number next. They usually have something that's called a trigger. And the trigger is usually one of two things. And so just kind of give me free rein here, and let me say this. The type of wheat that I read about that probably Joseph stored up in the store cities for the Pharaoh, you know, when they were getting ready for the 7 years of famine, it was probably not genetically modified wheat that was sprayed with antifungal agents or anti-mold chemicals, and it didn't have any Roundup in it. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
And so what's happened is we've taken wheat, which is not necessarily a bad substance, probably really good for you, and now we've completely changed it, and we've genetically modified it where it's like a whole different animal. And so now when people eat a lot of wheat, the immune system doesn't like it so well. And so a lot of times with Raynaud's, you'll find that, or what I would find is, they have what I might call a food and hit out, or a hidden food allergy, or a food intolerance, or another way of saying it is, when they eat wheat or genetically modified corn or dairy products, sometimes your immune system just goes bonkers and says, what is this? It's unnatural. So that may trigger the body attacking itself, which could be triggering the Raynaud's. Number next. Have you ever heard the term infection before?
Infection. Yeah, I believe I have about 50, 60 years ago.
Okay, well, there is a thing called an infection where you could have a foreign organism like a bacteria or a virus, and if it starts to thrive and grow in the body, then infections can do you a world of hurt. They can mess you up. You're not better off by having double pneumonia, are you?
I would not think so, no.
So a lot of times when somebody has an autoimmune disease, what I'm concerned about is they have this continual ongoing low-grade either bacterial or viral infection. Now, I know what I'm going to say is going to come across as kind of gross, but just cut me some slack. If you have, for example, if you have sauerkraut in front of you and it's super, super raw, then what it's going to have in it, it's going to have a whole bunch of beneficial bacteria in it. And these bacteria are so good for you that when you eat them, what they do is the bacteria says, oh, I love living in your gut. What I'm going to do for you in return is I'm going to release vitamin B12 to say thank you very much. And so a lot of times with autoimmune diseases, whether it's psoriasis or celiac disease or rheumatoid or Hashimoto's, or Raynaud's.
Or eczema.
Or eczema. Thank you very much. We're on the same page, buddy. But what you have is you have a deficiency of vitamin B12.
Okay.
And so the vast majority of all people that have autoimmune diseases, well, they're usually women. So a lot of times you'll notice that when a woman is very, very slender or very, very trim, and you might even look at her and say, you know what, she doesn't have much meat on her bones. Those are usually the cases where you have what's called a vitamin B12 deficiency.
Okay.
And so when you consume sauerkraut, what you're doing is you're consuming a substance that can help your body replenish its vitamin B12. Now, the way that I really want to say it, a lot of times when people have autoimmune diseases, what really happens is they burn through their B12 at a faster rate than what they can replenish it. I mean, I've tried every different way I can. I have been like a total failure at this. Usually when I tell a person, they say to me, they ask an intelligent question, Dr. Morgan, if I only knew what food was high in B12, I would eat it. And I usually say, oh, really? Would you now? And they go, oh, yes. I give you my word, Dr. Morgan, if you will only release this top secret knowledge, I will do whatever you say. And I go, well, there is one food that's higher in B12 than any other. And then they say, tell me what it is, Dr. Morgan, I'll eat it. And I say, it's called liver and onions. That's yum. Usually where I see them fall out of the chair onto the floor, and they go into the death throes, you know, where rigor mortis starts to set in, they stop shaking. But yeah, and so calf liver or beef liver, that is absolutely the highest source of B12 in the universe.
Okay.
And so a lot of times this was one of the treatments that was used to try to get a person out of an autoimmune disease like Raynaud's, is to give them liver and onions once a week. I know that sounds like torture, but I don't think it is. I like it.
I agree with you 100%.
Oh, wow. I got to write this down. Good. Let me see. This one caller agreed with me. This is brand new. I haven't had that happen before. And so what you're doing is you're trying to repopulate the body with good beneficial bacteria. And to borrow a verse from the Bible as my analogy, in Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but rather overcome evil with good. Well, my analogy is we got to put the good bacteria in to push the bad bacteria and infections out. And so that's one of the things that I always look at and I always search. So you've got to create an environment in their body where they no longer have chronic low-grade infections, whether that come from the teeth or the sinuses or the gut or the common one that I see all the time, chronic continual urinary tract infections in women. It's just incredible. There's always a correlation between low levels of B12 and chronic infections. It's almost as if we require B12 to keep our immune system in great working order. Kind of like we need the vitamin A that comes from like real butter, right?
Right.
And so this person with Raynaud's, most likely they have a glitch in their system, and we're just trying to remove each and every part of it, and we want to help nourish them better. So if they ate liver and onions once a week and they put butter on their cooked carrots and their squash, that would be a move in the right direction. The other thing that I like a whole lot is just using hot and cold water therapies. So with Raynaud's, one of the techniques I would use is like super, super old. It's been around for over 100 years. It's called a hand paraffin bath. You ever heard of that before?
I have. I've heard you talk about it.
Oh, you have? Well, I don't remember talking about it for like 5 years, but I guess you have a good memory. So
you don't have a good memory, it seems to me.
Well, which state are you calling from? Northern Yukon Territory?
State of confusion.
Oh, that doesn't... Why don't you move? Okay.
I'm too comfortable, and I don't know how to move anyway.
Okay. Well, what you're looking at is you're looking at this person maybe doing a hand paraffin bath treatment. If you were to go on like a website like eBay or Amazon.com, I'm only mentioning those just for convenience, but buying your own hand or foot paraffin bath, that might be like a really, really good call. Really. I love the idea.
Okay.
But the only way to really improve Raynaud's is by improving the health of the body. So you've got to improve the health of the digestive tract or the gut. That means set your mind on eating real food that God has made. So if somebody says, but Dr. Morgan, I need something sweet to eat. I can't make it. Well, eat a bowl of frozen cherries.
Right.
If you don't like that, go with blueberries or strawberries. Guess what? Guess what they have? They have nutrients in them.
This person eats pretty well, you know, organic kind of stuff. And so, you know, that's definitely, a, my opinion, it's fantastic and good supplements.
Yeah. This is good.
Standard process person, so.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you, and I'm not asking you to be judgmental or critical. I'm just kind of asking a blanket statement. Would you call this person a worrier?
Maybe a little bit. We all worry.
Okay, yeah. Well, sometimes the, well, let me say it this way. I was reading an article about animals that are easily stressed, and here's what they did. Scientists measured a chemical called oxytocin. You ever heard of oxytocin before?
Oh, I heard you talk about it about 5-6 years ago.
Okay. Well, oxytocin is one of those hormones or chemicals that you release when you feel very, very loved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you're like oozing with happiness. Now, the opposite of that is a chemical called cortisol.
Ooh,
cortisol, man, is what you release when you're scared or afraid or you're in fight or flight or you're worrying nonstop. So if I said, do you know what it's like to feel really, really happy and calm on the inside and joyous and loved? And they go, yeah. I'm going, that's your oxytocin talking. And then if I asked a person, do you know what it's like to be or feel really uneasy or unsettled or stressed? And they go, yeah, I know what that's like. Well, that's cortisol. Well, what in the study, what they showed was, if the great-grandmother was like a major, major worrywart and real negative all the time, well, she passes that down to the fourth generation. And so what that means is, you can literally, because of worry and stress and fear, you can make cortisol go up into the fourth generation, and you can kind of blunt or suppress the oxytocin. And so these are all really, really big deals, but you're trying to change. Kind of like I asked a lady yesterday, I said, who do you favor, your mom or your dad? She said, oh, well, my personality is my dad. She said, he's like happy all the time. He's joyous. He looks at everything like in a positive light. I said, what about your mother? She said, no, not so much. She's real, real negative. And, you know, I talked to like 4 or 5 people yesterday after 4 o'clock, and all the stories were kind of, they were hard. Because what they were telling me is, you know, people that are extremely stressed and suffering greatly from depression, and almost all of them had the same story. There was a very, very negative family member in their life that is just spewing forth continual negativity and stress and fear. And that's hard on a human being, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Okay, so get the hand paraffin bath. And now here's the other thing I was going to look at. Do you know what cod liver oil is?
Oh, I do. I think it's the best thing you could possibly buy and put in your little gut.
Oh, man, I agree with you. That's a great sales pitch. I'm going to run with it. And the reason I brought up the stuff about the stress is because stress starts to break the body down and leads to autoimmune reactions. And so the reason I said all that was to tell you, in this one article that I was reading, what they did was they showed, if cod liver oil doesn't do anything else, one thing that it does do is it greatly calms down the negative effects of stress hormones upon the inner lining of your arteries. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is like a home run for like every American that wants to be in great working order. Because if you take cod liver oil every day, you're helping to negate greatly reduce the horrible negative effects of too much adrenaline or too much cortisol, because that stuff will wreck you every single time. So take cod liver oil. How about that?
That's a good idea.
Or another way of doing it is, how about eating real wild-caught salmon?
Oh, delicious. What butter?
You know, Man, I'm having a hard time disagreeing with anything you're saying. You're a genius.
Well, I listen to you too long and too much. I guess
you know. I don't want to hear any excuses out of you today because I know what you're planning. When I said salmon, you're thinking it's only 13 degrees outside with a wind chill. It's 9 below zero. I'm going to go get in my kayak and I'm going to go out into the bay called Wakanaka Island and I'm going to catch some salmon. Isn't that right?
I already did that about 4 hours ago.
Man, you're always ahead of me at every step.
You're a good teacher. What can I say?
Hey, I love you, man. You're doing great. Thank you so much for your phone call.
I love you too, Dr. Morgan. Thank you very much.
All right. Hang in there, buddy. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you want to join me on the air, the number is 903-586-5257. I tell you, I have read stories about Eskimos getting in their seal-skinned kayaks and going out and fishing in the severe temperatures. You talk about a real man? That's a real man right there. All right, good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Okay, say, a week from this coming Monday, I'm going in for what they call a diagnostic angiogram.
Right.
I think I made a mistake of going to my doctor. He said something was wrong with my heart, and he did the electrocardiogram and echograms and stuff and sent me up to this fellow. And suddenly they said, you know, in your arteries, looks like the blood's sluggish in a couple spots. We need to check this out. And he told me about all the things they might do from a clean out to a stent to nothing. And I'm thinking, I don't like any of that except the nothing.
Yeah. That's what my vote is.
Yeah, me too. So I know I'm going to go in for it, but I don't really want him to tell me anything except nothing.
Well, I vote for that, but in reality, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, I don't know that, but that's why they do tests like that for a reason. But, I mean, the truth is, you want to know what's going on, don't you?
Absolutely.
There's one particular test that I think is super, super accurate. It's called the calcium scoring test.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that before?
Not just now.
Okay. Well, they used to charge $49 for it, but I think the price has doubled to like 90. I started to say 97. That's not doubled, but you know where I'm going with it. The price has gone up a little bit. But the calcium scoring test, what they do is it takes about 2 or 3 minutes to have it performed. And they take a look at the calcification or calcium that builds up in your arteries. And I don't mind telling you the direction I'm going with this. If you do a calcium scoring test and it shows that the numbers are zero, that means your arteries are in perfect, great working order. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what you want. But if the calcium scoring test shows maybe one artery has excessive calcification, I need you to remember, here's the rule. The rule is, your body will calcify anything that stays chronically inflamed. So one example would be if you look at someone's finger joint, and at the very end, just above the fingernail, they've got these big, bumpy calcium deposits. Well, what does that tell you? They got some calcification in that joint. That would be arthritis. And so the calcium scoring test does a great, great job of telling you the health of your arteries. But you already know what I'm into. I'm into, what is the most positive way to help improve the arteries of your heart? Now, I know I'm going to make this sound very, very simple. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be too simple. But vitamin C has so much to do with maintaining the integrity of those arteries. It really does.
What level of intake on vitamin C?
Well, I didn't want to discuss that just yet, but I will.
Sorry.
No. You don't have to apologize at all. It's just like you're always a step ahead of me. I got to remember, I'm dealing with a super smart person here. And
that was the last guy.
Well, that's because he lives in the northernmost region of Antarctica. he's there to count seals and penguins to give a report to the government.
I think he's probably on first-name basis with Santa Claus.
He is. And so he's the one that tells me, and for the last 10 years, I've been naughty every year. I just get a lump of coal. That's it. All right. Okay, but what they do is vitamin C has so much to do with this. And so always want everyone to remember, as long as you have vitamin C, your body can fight infection, and it can help rejuvenate. Yes. And so where I was going to go with that is, I think there's a time and a place for getting infusions of vitamin C. I really, really do. And it's not really that expensive. You can have somebody come to your house, an infusionist, and they can give you a bag of vitamin C. But the purpose of vitamin C is to heal injured arteries. Now, the other thing that I'm going to tell you is there is a B vitamin-like compound that what they do is they get it from rice bran. When I say rice bran, I'm talking about the outer husk that's on the rice, and they have to, like, knock that sucker off so they can have the rice underneath, and then they can sell the rice, and you can have a bowl of rice. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so this substance is called inositol hexaphosphate. You ever heard of that term before?
Never.
Can I tell you the short abbreviation? It's called IP6, like capital I, capital P, and then the number 6.
Got it.
So if you write that one down.
I did.
That is one of the most natural, if I say the term chelators, supposedly the word chela comes from the Koine Greek, which means the claw. So I was out fishing in the lake by my mother's house one day in my kayak, and lo and behold, I hear this big whistling screech come from the top of a dead pine tree, and I looked up. Guess what it was? It was a bald eagle. And this bald eagle had the very thing that I wanted. He had a 4-pound bass in his, like, talons. But do you think that eagle lost his grip on that fish?
No.
Absolutely not. I'm just glad he didn't grab me and pick me up out of the kayak and carry me off and eat me in his nest. But the chela is the word, the claw. And so inositol hexaphosphate, or IP6, when you consume that orally, what you're really doing, sir, is you're helping your body remove debris from your arteries.
I like it.
The other thing that I like very, very much, you're trying to tilt the balance in your favor. So I would say there's a substance that's called minoquinone 4 and minoquinone 7, but really what it is vitamin K2. Have you ever heard that before?
Vitamin K, but I don't know about 2.
Well, I think there's like 8 different forms of vitamin K. I'm telling you, I don't have the foggiest clue what half of them do. I just don't know. I haven't read the research on that. Maybe if somebody could call me and say, well, Dr. Morgan, and vitamin K6 is for this. I have no idea, but vitamin K2, that's the one that when people get that in their diet, like, for example, you're going to get some K2 when you eat Gouda cheese. You know how your people are from Holland and Denmark? Well, that's where they make Gouda cheese. But Gouda cheese is one of the greatest sources of vitamin K2 of all time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard me earlier, but I said one of the foods that's associated with longevity is cheese.
I did hear the end of that.
Well, are you willing to buy into the idea that maybe cheese could have some benefit to the human being?
I hope so, because I eat a bunch of it.
Okay, well, Gouda cheese. Well, Gouda is maybe the one that you want to take a look at.
I think so.
How does it taste? Never mind. I'm trying to make a bad joke. Gouda, but vitamin K2. There's definitely what I would call a therapeutic amount if you have any type of plaque or damage to your arteries. Now, you and I are living in America. I think it's fair to say that almost all Americans, if you're above the age of, like, what, 20, you probably have a little bit of damage to your arteries. Some of it's just because of the rancid food that we have. These rancid oils like cottonseed oil and soybean oil, pure corn oil, that stuff is pure garbage. Garbage. The type of oils and fats that we need are from, like, real butter. And from eating salmon that's caught from our friend who's in the middle of the Arctic Ocean right now trying to spear a seal so he can have lamp oil to read by tonight. So anyway, IP6, the other substance that I like a whole bunch is called resveratrol. Have you ever heard of that before?
I've heard you mention that before.
It's a flavonoid compound that usually it's going to be found in higher concentrations, like in a dark, deeply, richly colored red wine. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so those are some things that you look at. But if it were me, before you go to any test to get like a Roto-Rooter job or to have 15 stents popped in your arteries, it's not going to hurt you to have a calcium scoring test. Because every time the calcium scoring test is high, and someone comes to see me and I'm going, okay, maybe you could change this in your diet, or maybe you could start doing this, or maybe we could manipulate this to benefit you. If they have another test and it shows improvement, well, then the person knows, oh my goodness, my body is healing. I'm moving in the right direction. My arteries are getting better. So like when I told you earlier about the cod liver oil, it really does reduce inflammation in the lining of the arteries. Okay. But yeah, I'm all for you taking oral vitamin C. Just take as much as you can get away with. I'm not going to complain. I don't want you to have projectile diarrhea or anything like that.
Well, but what I take now is 1,000, I guess, milligrams a day. I don't know if that's low or...
Well, if somebody had, let's say, blocked clogged arteries, it may take like quadruple that to get the job done. And that's just an idea, but I mean, you don't have to take my word for it. You can absolutely study the topic forwards and backwards to make sure that you have a good idea. The number one thing that's going to clog the arteries is going to be like excessive trans fatty acids and sugars.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say my over the last 2 years, my activity's taken a nosedive, and it was lower than it had been prior to that. So I was thinking walking also?
Absolutely, yes. And so that's where you're going to live. When you move your body, you're speeding the rate of blood flow through your arteries.
Mm-hmm.
The faster that blood moves through the arteries, the cleaner they are, as a general rule.
Yeah.
And so there's really something to be said about moving, because when you move, it helps improve the production of what's called high-density lipoprotein, or HDL.
Okay.
And so the HDL is going to be like the garbage collection truck that goes by and goes, oh my goodness, here's some garbage right here. Let's pick it up. Take it to the liver. Let's break it down and poop it out.
Yeah, my thought was I'm going to go ahead with the diagnostic angiogram, but I'm sure I'm going to disappoint the doctor with whatever he comes out with for the recommendation.
Well, and I'm also hoping
to do the things you're talking about.
Absolutely, and you're trying to, the ball's in your court. You can do them anyway, regardless of what they tell you. But I hope that it's just a very minimal deal. But it presents you with a little bit of a challenge, like, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to overcome this? And so those are some strategies that you might play into or consider prayerfully to get the job done.
Is there a type of dark red wine that you take a lot of that you would recommend? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, what I do is I take resveratrol. And so the form of resveratrol that's been shown in the studies to work well is called TRANS, TRANS.
Mm-hmm.
I know the word trans can be used differently. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the chemical orientation on how it bends light in a spectrometer or whatever they call it. So
when you say trans, the first thing that came to mind was trans fats.
Yeah, exactly. And which is, but trans fats would be bad, but trans is the form or the optical orientation of the molecule called resveratrol that's good.
I'm glad you know.
So, I hope I do. I better at this point, after 32 years, I better have something good to say about red wine and resveratrol. But if you took the supplement, it's usually going to be somewhere between maybe 100 to maybe 250 milligrams a day that gets the job done on your arteries.
Of transveratrol.
Yeah, and a lot of times what they do is that there's a high concentration in a plant called Japanese knotweed.
Okay.
That's what it's called. It's called knotweed.
Is this granary found or someplace else?
Yeah, absolutely. You just got to look at the label, and it should be there. But thank you so much for your phone call. Unfortunately, we're all out of time.
I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thanks, buddy. Have a good day. Mm-hmm. Great weekend. Bye-bye.